Page Roman 20. The second major instance of Mallory dealing with the matter of love occurs in the penultimate section of the whole work, The Book of Sir Lancelot and Queen Guinevere. Caxton places this section at the very end of Book 18, Chapter 25. But in any ordering, it is clearly designed to serve as a prologue to what immediately follows, the events of, quote, the month of May, when Guinevere rides forth with 10 knights of the Table Round, ellipsis, on mange into the woods and fields besides Westminster, end quote. This time Mallory speaks in his own person. He begins with the praise of, quote, the month of May, when every lusty heart beginneth to blossom and to burgeon, end quote. This, above all, is the time when, quote, lovers calleth to their mind old Gentiles and old service, end quote. Things are gathering to a head in his story, but the new stage is rooted deep in the past. This prompts the next reflection. The seasons pass. Green summer is followed by in the natural order by winter rasure, which, quote, doth always erase and deface green summer, end quote. And this, Mallory affirms, is the pattern of, quote, unstable love in man and woman, end quote. Quote, for in many personas there is no stability, for we may see all day, for a little blast of winter's rasure, anon we shall deface and lay apart true love, for little or naught, that cost much thing. This is no wisdom, neither stability, but it is feebleness of nature and great disworship, whosomever uses this. End quote. Here again, modern usage may mislead. We must be on our guard against writing down stability as a commonplace virtue. Much more, it is the highly prized characteristic of steadfastness, continuing in well-doing. Stability, in this sense, is the great virtue of constancy. Its larger implications are evident enough for Mallory when, quote, the fellowship of the round table is broken, end quote. The foundation of order is gone. There will be, the knights perceive, quote, ever debate and strife in place of quiet and rest, end quote. Lancelot is credited by them with, quote, a great part, end quote, in the achievement of order, and in reply Lancelot gives it its proper name, quote, I wot well that in me was not all the stability of this realm, but in that I did my deaver. End quote. Caxton, chapter 20, pages 17 to 18. Page Roman 21. Stability, then, is the great virtue, to be lamented in its passing. But in the present passage, Mallory has a surprise in store. First, as on the earlier occasion, we must be told what true virtue consists in, quote, virtuous love, end quote, is therefore defined, quote, like as May moneth, flowereth, and flourisheth in every man's garden, so in likewise let every man of worship flourish his heart in this world. First unto God, and next unto the joy of them that he promised his faith unto, for there was never a worshipful man nor worshipful woman, but they loved one better than another. And worship in armies may never be foiled. But first reserve the honor to God, and secondly thy quarrel must come of thy lady. And such love I call virtuous love, end quote. It is very different, Mallory goes on, from the experience of love nowadays, when love is, quote, sona hot, sona cold, this is no stability, end quote. Quote, but the old love was not so, for men and women could love togethers 7 years, and no liquors lustis was between them. And then was love truth and faithfulness, and so in likewise was used such love in King Arthur's days, end quote. So be it. Inconstancy appears as a national failing. quote, a great default of us Englishmen, for there may no thing us please, no term, end quote, Caxton, chapter 21, page 1. Mallory's readers must therefore be willing to receive upon report what they cannot, in their latter age, experience for themselves. Where Mallory had glanced forward in an earlier episode from Lancelot's innocence to his later sufferings, here he makes his reader look back to old times and the old love. But here, as there, he comes to rest in the admirable qualities of his characters. Lancelot's noble chivalry, from which all was to spring, is now echoed in praise for Guinevere. Modern lovers will do well to recall the past. Page Roman 22. Quote, and therefore, all ye that be lovers, call unto your remembrance the month of May, like as did Queen Guinevere, for whom I make here a little mention, that while she lived she was a true lover, and therefore she had a good end. End quote. Guinevere is commended as a true lover, and truth, of course, means stability, constancy. Once again, in the bad instance, Mallory dwells upon the redeeming feature, but it marks an advance in skill that this time the author pays tribute in his own person, making, quote, a little mention, end quote, that, poised at the end of his prologue, looks forward not only to the action immediately following, quote, so hit befell in the month of May, end quote, but to the longer run of the whole story, the enda that already begins to darken the horizon. In both instances, Mallory has called into play knowledge of events to come, and since they are dire events, in each instance a bright present is overshadowed. The effect is, of course, to heighten the sense of inevitability. Momentarily, present and future lie in one focus. But that is not all. We end each time with the admirable qualities of the protagonists, and this most powerfully expresses the writer's sense that what is to come is a destiny from which no one, least of all the writer himself, can safeguard the persons of this story. Their lot is thus. In the ancient phrase, Soth und Salich, true and tragic. The shadow that falls is the shadow of events impending in the real world, not a foreseeable downfall in terms of supernaturally approved system. A narrative method which is sequential rather than polyphonic encourages the writer to reach backward and forward. Given this message, time becomes especially the writer's medium, successive time as contrasted with the continuum in which the interwoven method would place all persons and events to make one grand design. This is an opportunity which Mallory, moved especially by nostalgia, a reverence for that in the past which he would see revived in the present, is particularly fitted to take. And in the most successful parts of his work, it sustains a sense of onward and irresistible force. Page Roman 23. Here we have two leading illustrations that in Mallory's handling the story, quote, had to rely on his own resources and move by its own momentum, end quote. Note 1. Note 1 at the bottom of the page reads Vinaver, The Tale of the Death of King Arthur, page Roman 25, return to text. Section 5. What part is played in this by Mallory's style? Vinaver, writing in 1929, when Mallory's achievement seemed to him largely inexplicable in terms of content, concluded that the Mort d'Arthur rested securely on, quote, the mysterious power of style, the only immortal merit in the world of books, end quote. Note 2. Note 2 at the bottom of the page reads, Vinaver, Mallory, page 114. Return to text. It is, in fact, a most insecure assumption that Mallory has any one distinctive style. Like a good many 15th-century writers, he writes in one way when he is following his sources, another when he turns to address his gentle readers. There is a further complication. As the source varies, so too does Mallory. He can write in the ordinary progressive manner of his French prose source, or equally in the strongly alliterative manner of the English poem which underlies the Roman War, Caxton, chapter 5, or, again, he will echo the rhythms of the stanzaic English mort, as in Caxton, chapter 20, page 19. A style? it is really a question of styles. To illustrate, there is firstly the continuing manner of French prose. Quote, "And then the good man and Sir Lancelot went into the chapel. And the good man took a stole about his neck, and a book, and then he conjured on that book, and with that they saw the fiend in a hideous figure, that there was no man so hard-hearted in the world but he should been afraid. Then said the fiend, quote, "Thou hast travailed me greatly. Now tell me what thou wouldst with me." End quote. "I will," said the good man, "that thou tell me how my fellow became dead, and whether he be saved or damned." End quote. Then he said with an horrible voice, quote, "He is not lost, but he is saved." End quote. Quote, "How may that be?" said the good man. "It seemeth me that he liveth not well, for he brake his order for to wear a shirt, where he ought to wear none, and who that trespasseth against order, doth not well." End quote. Quote, "Not so," said the fiend. "This man that lieth here was come of great lineage." Ellipsis, end quote. From The Quest of the Holy Grail, Works, pages 925, 926, compare Caxton, chapter 25, page 1. Page Roman 24. The following text is in French, Middle French. Quote, "Leurs entre les prudents en sa chapelle et prend un livre et met en une estole entoure son col et puis vient hors et commence à conjurer l'ennemi. Et quand il a grand pied lutte, il regarde et voit l'ennemi in si hideuse forme qu'il n'a si hardi homme in tout le monde qui grande hide non eus et paure." Quote, "Tu me travailles trop," fait l'ennemi, "or me dit que tu me voules." End quote. "Je voule," fait-il, "que tu me dis comment s'il mien complain est mort et s'il est périls ou sauvé." End quote. L'heure parlait l'ennemi à voix horrible et épouvantable et dit, quote, "N'aimé péril, mais sauvé." End quote. Quote, "Et comment peut s'estre," end quote, fait les prudhommes. Quote, "Il me semble que tu me montes, car ce ne me commande mi nostre ordre, hein, lever tout pleinement que nul de nostre ordre de vestre chemise de lin, et qui la veste, il trapasse l'autre, et qui en trespassant ordre meurt, ce n'est mi bien, se met à vie." End quote. "Ah," fait l'ennemi, "je te dirai comment il est allé de lui. Tout ce qui est bien qu'il fût gentilhomme et de grand lignage." End quote. Text from Vinaver, Mallory, pages 159 to 160. The structure of each passage is essentially the same, but I have italicized in the French those words and phrases which Mallory does not tender, and it will be seen that his passage gathers force until, with the final disclosure, all is swept aside that does not serve the bleak contrast of life and death. Quote, "This man that lieth here was come of great lineage," end quote. Note 1. Note 1 at the bottom of the page reads, Caxton reads that, "lieth here dead." Return to text. Mallory's style in this type of passage, where he follows a French original, may certainly